Hey, Teresa.
I still have that fucking song stuck in my head. Hi.
What song do you have stuck in your head?
Okay, so actually, this kind of is a pop culture thing that I will tell you about because I kind of want you and Brianna to check it out because I kind of love it. So there's a YouTuber named Todrick Hall who did his own, I guess Beyonce-esque would be a good way to call it, describe it, call it. I don't know, I'm fucking tired. Visual album that is Wizard of Oz themed. And the very last song in it is called Low, and it's just a fun, like, club dance song, but it has RuPaul in it.
Time out. What's a visual album?
So it would be an entire CD wherein, like, think of it as little music videos, but one really long music video. So this particular music video is an hour and a half long.
So in some ways, it's kind of like the old Real Player where you could have the sheep and it would just be like,
yeah, jumping, yeah. Yeah, kind of like down. That. Oh, I miss that guy.
Right?
And now I want to think about Winamp, too. Winamp. It really whips the llama's ass. Why do I still know that?
I don't know that I've ever heard that.
Did you ever use Winamp? Was that not your MP3 player of choice?
Not really. I remember you using it.
I did, because I had a fuck ton of skins for it.
Yeah.
And I would make them match my wallpaper.
I was kind of in love with the Real Player sheep.
Mm.
I mean,
it's pretty cool.
As a player, it wasn't anything fantastic, but it had the sheep. I miss him. Anyway, welcome to Disaster Digital Podcast, Season 5, Episode 03.
Okay.
In which that today we will be discussing
Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Hedwig. That's how it's pronounced?
Well, I mean, Hedwig, whichever.
Yeah. So we will discuss that and more.
And lots more.
After
I'm
this
sure.
Music. Hey, you.
Get in. Wait, get out of my dreams and into my car. Beep, beep. Yeah.
Perfect. That was our, that's our intermission for
today. That was our little
today.
Intermission for you.
But yeah, I haven't talked to you in like forever.
I know, because there was holiday junk.
We're sitting here recording season 5 in bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And taking weeks off because we can, because there's no pressure, because we haven't posted anything, mm-hmm. which is awesome.
Yep. And summer means there's shit going on and it's fine.
Do you remember in, I think it was after season one, summer happened. We're like, we're just going to take a little summer break. And then we didn't record again until like the next January.
Yeah, it was pretty much like a year.
Like, oopsies. That was a long ass summer.
I think that was our running joke for the first couple of episodes.
Yeah.
It was, oh, you mean that year long break we took? You know what we never managed to get in, though, was a good Friends reference. We were on a break joke. We totally missed that.
You could have.
The opportunity.
You just missed the opportunity.
I missed it again.
It was right
there.
Other
than mentioning it outright.
Which, I was going to ask you this, and I was going to research it too, but I was wondering what the average length of a podcast lifespan is. Because I saw some crazy statistic about like hundreds of new podcasts get published to the iTunes store every day. And I was thinking, I wonder if we're at the average lifespan, have we passed it? What is the, I mean, in time frame or episodes? I don't know.
I'd be interested to find out too, because the vast majority of podcasts that I listen to today are ones that I have listened to for at least 3 years, if not longer.
But like that, in the case that can't of be Kevin. The norm. I mean, that's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah.
I mean, it may be the norm for people to listen to those podcasts. But I mean, just because I can think of Mysterious Universe was around at the birth of podcasting.
They've been around
as well.
For fucking ever. Like, them, Nerdist, and Kevin have been around since like fucking day one, it feels like.
Yeah. But in between, you know, the great successes and the terrible failures.
Well, and in all honesty, without seeing like Kev's numbers, I don't know how popular his individual podcasts are anymore. He just keeps doing them because he enjoys them. I don't know that they make him money or anything.
Yeah, I wasn't going in a popularity direction. No. I was thinking just pure it exists, which is what we do.
Yes.
Which.
We exist.
Congratulations. We're huge in Japan.
I know. What the fuck?
So we have these numbers that we get from Blueberry. How's it pronounced?
I think Blurberry? I don't know. I always want to call it Burberry, but that's wrong.
And they send us emails with counts every week, and we haven't posted anything in a couple months now, probably. And we had like 90 downloads, and I was like, I call bullshit. Bullshit. And then Teresa looks it up and she sends me the link. She's like, hey, check this out. I'm like, oh my God.
Japan.
Japan loves us. So if you're listening to us from Japan, domo arigato.
I was just going to say konnichiwa. I think that's hello.
I was
thank you and hello. That
I was
works.
Going with the song.
Domo.
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 Domo. Domo.
But yeah, we're huge in Japan. Mm-hmm. If you ever visit there, just tell them you know us.
I would like to visit there.
I would too.
Someday.
It is the country that I would most like to visit, according to security questions for miscellaneous websites that force you into using their questions, which sometimes don't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
Like, who's your high school sweetheart? Or, like, where did you have your first kiss? Like, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to relive that.
Yeah, I
know. It's not that I don't know the answer. I don't want to relive it. Fuck you.
Did I ever tell you this when Lou and I were building the login system for that we use, how much we painstakingly made sure that we didn't have shitty questions like that or ones that could be construed or ones that could change over time, like what's your favorite pizza topping? I'm like, it used to be pepperoni. I fucking hate pepperoni now. Like, these things shift over time. So we actually have, and I think more people should do this, where you pick two out of our canned responses and then you can put in two of whatever the fuck you want. So, like, my questions are, who's your everything burrito? And the other one is just, after all this time, which is the best fucking security question ever.
After all this time. I can see some people not necessarily liking it as much as you. But
I think it's the best goddamn security question ever.
It is pretty funny.
It's fucking awesome.
I feel like it's Cards Against Humanity.
It kind of is.
Really?
But yeah. It's like
somebody's answer is going to be big black cock. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah. So, there's that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Do you want to have some more banter since we haven't talked in a while, or do you want to jump right into
Let's banter, because we haven't talked in a long time. Like, I feel like I haven't seen you in like a month, even though I know that's not true. But it feels like it's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
What's new, man? How's life and whatnot?
Going on a trip. I'm going up north this weekend. By the time you listen to this, it will be many weekends before.
Yes, it will have passed.
Yes. It started out with a me-cation idea.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of bounced it off you. I was like, what would you think if I went up north by myself? Is that crazy?
No.
And you like flicked me in my balls and were like, no, that's not crazy. You're crazy. No, you're not crazy. That's crazy. It was a really confusing conversation.
Is that how I sound in your head?
Yeah.
Really? That kind of makes me sad. I sound snippy.
Not snippy. Lispy.
I don't find myself lispy.
She's not
okay.
Giving you the stink eye. That's just the way her face looks.
Your face is.
Yeah. So I came up with this idea. I'm going to stay up there. And I also invited people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a vacation, kind of not. So I told Josh, I was like, hey, you can come hang out, but I don't want to know if you're coming. I don't want to know what day you're coming. I don't want to know anything. Just call me when you're on your way up. I'll make sure I have the boat ready. Other than that, I mean, I think it's highly unlikely that he wouldn't show up unless something happened, because this is like a once in a lifetime. Like, I've never been up there fishing with one person if it wasn't just Brianna. So, say just Brianna. Brianna and I do it all the time. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Brianna is obviously the pinnacle of the people that I could fish with.
Yes.
Don't give me
without
that
Brianna,
look.
The location with at which to fish does not exist.
Right.
So there's also that.
I would just be one man living on a pontoon with nowhere to dock.
Mm-hmm. That'd be a weird life.
Yeah. What about you? What's new with you?
Not much. We went down to Toledo on Saturday to the zoo, and it was great and emotional at the same time, which I did not expect, but
emotional question mark?
Emotional quandary? So it's a weird thing how you get associations between animals and people just over time. Because, like, penguins always remind me of you.
Yay.
As well as my dear friend Lisa, who actually volunteers at the penguin emporium thingy at the Detroit Zoo.
Clap, 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 clap.
So both of you always, penguins are totally remind me of you. Otters now remind me of Jenna and Julian, since they call each other Otter. It's a very cute thing with their whole YouTubing. And plus, otters are goddamn adorable. Those are fucking cute creatures.
Yeah, as long as you don't see them in person.
I've seen them in person.
No, I mean like in the wild.
Oh, like in the wild? Where they're not adorable and swimming and going down slides?
Yeah. In Brazil, Bob said that the natives called them the jaguar of the rivers.
Those are like assholes in real life.
Like,
they're so cute in captivity.
They can take you down to Chinatown real quick.
That's sad, because, I mean, you watch the little videos of them holding hands, sleeping. They're so goddamn adorable.
Yeah. Obviously, that's, you know, not all otters are evil.
It's all a ploy.
But if you ever find yourself in the Amazon and there's otters around, get on a boat.
Okay. One, I don't think I will ever find myself in the Amazon because there are goddamn huge snakes there and I hate fucking snakes.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we have to worry about that. But I think the otters in captivity are rather adorable.
Fair.
But the hard one was the meerkats because DFA. So there's that. I don't know that I need to elaborate that much. Maybe I should. When was that on, Meerkat Manor? Do you remember?
It was not one of my shows.
Not one of your shows. It wasn't even honestly one of my shows. It was one of him and Kristen's shows, which was a thing. But yeah, so anytime I see meerkats, it takes me back to a time when life was fucking weird, like life is in the best of times, that you don't realize are awesome until they're gone.
Why doesn't anyone tell you that you're in the good times?
While you're in them. Yay, office quote. I'm so pleased.
Yeah.
So there was that. Saw the aquarium that has now been updated and is quite lovely. Went to the Dolson again, which was delish. And we did yard work on Tuesday. And played a lot of video games. I got sucked into the Zelda DLC. I beat Zelda. Did I tell you I beat Zelda? Did we talk about that already?
I assumed that you did.
Yeah, I beat the shit out of that. I got all the shrines.
But not the DLC content, right?
Yep. So now I'm doing that, and you're talking weird, so that's fun. And I'm about halfway through that, I think.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah.
I like to think that you're better than everyone else.
I don't, but I guess that's cool.
I feel like I'm a demon in Buffy.
It's a little demon in Buffy. It's also a little Bane.
I'm going to take your soul.
Okay. I don't think I have one. Remember, Ginger?
I'm going to use my tongue.
Ew.
And lick out the insides of your being.
Okay. Can you stop that now? Because I'm not sure how that's going to sound on replay.
I kind of want to stop and listen to
it. You kind of want to listen to it.
I've been perfecting that voice for 30-some years.
It's good. It's good shit. It's creepy as fucking person. I'm thinking it will come across just as fucking creepy in recording. We haven't done this in a while. Apparently, my ability to speak in full sentences where I don't trip on words is impossible.
It's okay. You'll get better. Give it a few more years. You'll be professional.
It'll be good. I do have one more little pop culture thing before we talk
just
about
like,
head
take
fake.
The slap in the face.
I just take it and I'll just keep rolling with it because I'm used to being insulted at this point in my life.
Sorry.
Nah. Our dear Hannah Hart has a television show that is starting on the Food Network on August 14th, and I'm fucking stoked.
Can I call a station timeout?
No, because it doesn't have that for a name.
No, I have questions.
What is your question?
Is she going to still do her YouTube stuff?
Yeah.
So she's not preventing, like, she didn't sign a contract that said that whenever she's doing the show, she can't do anything.
Nope. She actually recorded 6 episodes a little while ago, and they will be airing in August. And hopefully they do well, and she gets a second season, which is more than what happened for poor Grace, but that's okay.
What was Grace doing?
Grace had a 1-season-long show on the E! Network that didn't do as well as they had wanted immediate watcher-wise, because most everybody who follows Grace is, you know, a YouTube fan, so they wanted to watch it on demand. Well, E! Didn't offer that. It's kind of like what happened with Will, where he was like, my fan base are internet people. Make this available on the internet, they will fucking watch it. And Sci-Fi didn't do that, so his show tanked. So have you caught up on his podcast, or are you behind?
I didn't even know he was doing it again.
He's doing it again. So one of the things he had talked about, I don't remember how recently this was how
Radio Free Burrito.
Okay. Yep. Was how weird it is for him and how kind of downtrodden he's been a little bit lately, because like he's really good friends with Chris Hardwick and has been for years. They used to live together. So like Chris has all these shows, including one that's very similar to what he was doing on Sci-Fi. And he's like, it's just a big, you know, kick in the dick to watch your friend be really successful doing a thing that you're like, I could do that thing. Why am I not doing that thing? Oh, wait, because you're more famous than me. Fuck. And how weird it is, like, now when they go to Disney and they have to have security guards because Chris, not only is Chris famous, he's married to Lydia Hurst, who's from a famous family as well, and she's a model, and they can't, like, just go hang out at Disney like they used to. It was interesting listening to him talk about how their friendship dynamics have shifted over the past 20 years of their friendship, so. It was an interesting conversation. Himself.
I'm sure that Will is going to eventually listen to the podcast, and I want to tell him a message from my heart. He will never be second best to Chris Hardwick in my book.
Nor mine. Like, you were so far above. I like Hardwick's cool and everything, but I really prefer Will.
And I don't hate Hardwick anymore. I just am indifferent. Maybe that's bad. Is in a relationship, it's like love, hate, and indifference.
Yeah.
When you get to the indifference, it's like really over.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that as an insult, but maybe it is.
No. It is what it is.
Sorry, Chris.
Yeah.
Hopefully
I don't listen to your podcast unless you have on somebody I actually give a fuck about. So there's that.
Do you know what podcast Paul David, my nephew, really likes?
Mm.
Joe Rogan Experience.
Oh, Rogan's kind of fun to listen to.
Yeah. He said that he is very open-minded. He has a lot of cool guests, and he tends to, mm-hmm. he said, unless he's in a cranky pants mood,
yeah.
he will hear them out, and it's really good conversations.
I actually listened not that long ago to an episode of his that Shirley was on, Manson.
Nice.
So that was kind of rad.
He said that Kevin Smith was on there a couple mm-hmm. times.
Yeah. Yeah. They've been on each other's podcasts over the years.
It'd be cool if I could get Paul David on the podcast.
I would listen to that. That'd be cool.
He has a mic. He's the one who recommended these mics.
He's basically the reason we were actually able to do this.
He records too.
Thank you, Paul David.
Boom.
You kick ass.
So yeah, I don't know where we're at.
I guess we should probably talk about Hedwig.
Hedwig.
Did you, before we jump into this.
Okay, here we go.
Did you have an opportunity or desire to go through any of the Broadway variations at all?
Are you referring to my past self?
Yeah, I guess.
Because I feel like there's a lot of mixed in questions there. I did have the desire, but I did not make the time.
Okay, that's cool.
It's not that I didn't find the time. I honestly, when I had the time, I forgot.
It's okay.
But I want to. If you were to say, hey, mm-hmm. do you want to come see this play live with me? I would be like, yeah, I really want to see this. So it's not that I don't want to watch it. I'd like to. So do you want to give the synopsis of what Hedwig is without, you know, blowing it up, and then we can kind of
giving it away. Essentially, Hedwig is a tale
Hedwig.
Of a person's life and loves and missteps and fuckeries. I kind of like that description of it, actually, throughout her life, mostly going around her failed music career, wherein a past lover has used all of her songs to make himself a career, and her dealing with that. And it's great fun on stage. It's essentially a two-person show. That is rather exhausting. When you're watching it, you kind of go, how in the fuck is this person still up there doing that? They've been doing this for an hour. Holy shit.
Who have been some of the actors that have played?
It started with John Cameron Mitchell, who was responsible for most of the songs as well as the original book. Stephen Trask did all the music. Then in terms of playing the character, Anthony Rapp, who was in Rent, has done it. Neil Patrick Harris did so and won the Tony for it when they did the revival a few years ago. That's what kind of re-pumped up my love for it.
Doogie Howser.
Michael C. Hall from Dexter fame has done it. Taye Diggs, also from Rent, has done it. Darren Criss, best known from Glee, did it. And Andrew Rannells, who's best known, I think, from Book of Mormon, also did it. And then I saw, what's his name? He was so good, and I feel bad that I forgot his name. It's not Evan. I'll have to look it up.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yes.
I'm being super polite. Every time I interrupt you, I'm asking permission as if you would say no.
I know. And like, I don't interrupt you 500 fucking times without ever saying a damn thing.
Off topic, but you said something about the Book of Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
And that reminded me of this headline news story that I read. And this is going to date this podcast. People might know when we're actually recording.
It's okay.
But Hobby Lobby smuggling artifacts in from Iraq, like biblical artifacts. They got caught. But what a bunch of assholes.
What the fuck? I'm so glad I stopped shopping there.
Yeah. What the fuck? The only thing about it that makes me angry is that I already hate Hobby Lobby, so I can't possibly hate them anymore.
Yeah. Which, by the way, that man cave sign I got you was from there, so you should probably get rid of that if you haven't already done so.
I should. I don't know where it is, but I will get rid of it.
When you find that, fucking chuck that fucker, because that is actually from Hobby Lobby.
And I think what their spokesperson said was that acquiring biblical artifacts lines up with their religious blah blah blah, and they accidentally mismarked it. But the reality is, you know, you don't accidentally mismark biblical artifacts, especially when it's illegal. And if it was legal, the value of it would be taxed at a much higher rate. I just don't think it was an accident. Anyway,
what fuckery. I think fuckery is one of my new favorite words I'm going to use a bunch.
And actually, religion does play an interesting part in Hedvig.
You are correct.
So.
No. I don't know. I think in this case, because it's something that I've been so goddamn obsessed with for so long, I really wanted a fresh perspective on it. And I really struggled with where I was going to have you start, because so much of me was going, you got to start with the stage version. That's the best one. But this other part of me is going, no, you should introduce it to him the same way you were introduced to it, which was literally someone we used to play pool with was talking about it and like, oh, it's great. You'll like the songs. It's very punk rock. It's fun. You'll love it. And so it's like, okay, fuck it. It's on Netflix. I'll watch it. And I think I was like 22 at the time.
The movie we watched?
Yeah.
Is that old?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What year? You know?
I think it came out. I could look. I think it came out in like 98 or 99. Like it's pretty fucking old.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Because the original Broadway run was in the mid 90s.
We're going to try something new, folks. We're going to try.
Are you going to Google some shit?
Typing letters while I'm recording.
Google some shit. Marty is Googling. He's Googling some shit. I feel like I should make a song for this just in case that your typing is heard.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah. So okay. What's the answer, babe?
The answer is...
I feel like I was moderately accurate.
What was your guess?
The movie, I thought, came out in like 97 or 98.
It says 2001.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was a lot earlier than that. Huh. Mm-hmm. Well, fuck me. Maybe the Broadway show was in like 97, 98. That might be what I'm thinking.
It's weird. IMDb has Spider-Man in the left, and then... you know, the dragon, mother of dragons in the bottom right. I just...
Daenerys Targaryen.
I can't look at you right now. Yeah, so you saw the movie first is what you're saying.
Yeah, I saw the movie first. And it's a different experience as I've aged, because I think I take different things away from it as well as from the stage variation of it as I've gotten older. Because I know the first thing that really drew me to it at that initial age, being the stupid, naive human I was at 22, was not even like how fucking shitty Hedwig really is as a person, but it was that connection between her and Tommy just reminded me a lot of a different fucking terrible, stupid connection that I was in at that time, Nicholas. So,
one were you in that equation?
I kind of feel like I was Hedwig in that equation. Like, I was the ugly thing that he didn't want to touch and was scared of.
I'm actually really glad to hear you to say that Hedwig is not a good person, because
Oh, she's fucking terrible.
Okay. Good. I wanted to say that, but you love the movie, and I don't know if you had this
weird
idealistic
thing. Yeah, but you have to remember how much I love flawed human beings.
Okay. Yeah, but at the same time, there's also this element of kind of transgenderness going on.
That's not it. And that's another reason I really want you to watch the stage variation of it, because yes, she is transgender, but it's interesting how it's not as much her choice as you'd want it to be.
Time out. timeout. I just called timeout for the third time. I'm out of timeouts for this episode.
You are. I'm going to drink while you
talk. I can't challenge any more plays. I feel like we're jumping around a bit. I'm going to give you a Marty sandwich. Mm-hmm. We're going to come back to the transgender conversation because
absolutely,
it's important. The Marty sandwich is this. Do you know what a Marty sandwich is?
The Marty sandwich is usually compliment, criticism, compliment.
Yes, that's exactly it. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to say is that I love the music. The music was what you said it was.
It's great.
Yeah. I don't have the words of any songs in that I can say, but
I own three versions of the soundtrack. Take your fucking pick.
But I like the one where he's talking about getting cut. Like, that's, you know.
Oh, Exquisite Corpse.
Yeah. It's
great
really
song.
Emotional
great song.
And good.
It's fantastic on stage.
The thing that there's some weird things. The things that I don't like are odd plot points.
Yeah. Especially in the film, because they're not points that take place on stage.
Yeah. And I know you told me not to focus on this.
Yeah, I really did.
But I can't not focus on it, because in my mind, when I'm watching a movie, events, I have to link them to a purpose, not necessarily in the movie, but at least a vision from, you know, director, producer, whoever. And there's a part where there's a sexual thing that doesn't really make sense in terms of sex, because Hedwig doesn't have a penis.
No, she essentially has a mound left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's the song go?
6 inches forward and 5 inches back. I've got an angry inch.
Yeah. So it can't be pleasureful, I would imagine.
Yeah.
That has to be pretty mutilated.
Right.
And I don't know. My assumption, what is it about? Why did it?
You know, and the interesting thing with that, we need the fucking interesting bell back, because I keep doing that.
I figured it out.
I never noticed that until you and I watched it. It never even hit in my brain that Hedwig was humping Yitzhak. Did not even enter. I'm like, I never fucking noticed that until just now. I've seen this movie like 20 fucking times. How is it that that's never...
And Yitzhak...
Yitzhak is her husband. Which, that's also a character that is highly underutilized in the movie, which I found surprising because John directed the movie.
Hold on. So, I hate to do this, but...
No, it's okay.
Gender parts-wise, what does Yitzhak have?
Yitzhak is meant to be a male former drag queen. In the stage show, for vocalization purposes, Yitzhak is always played by a woman.
Okay.
Does that help?
Okay.
But Yitzhak is meant to be a male drag queen with schlong.
And I think if there is something that the director, writer of the movie, whoever, wanted us to get, is it's not about pleasure. It's not about reproduction. Mm-hmm. It's about dominance. And I think that fits pretty well with the Hedwig character.
And from the stage show, there's not instances wherein Hedwig would, like, hump Yitzhak like that. But there are instances during the stage show where Hedwig will grab him and, you know, kind of, like, toy around and talk shit about him and then kind of push him away via dick. So, I mean, there's that in the stage show. And I felt like, is that the one way he figured he could play off that dominance of, no, I'm the queen of the stage, not you? Because that gets played off a lot in the stage show. And the thing that's missing, too, that I told you after we were done watching it, that I really wish they'd included in the movie, is the deal that's made between Yitzhak and Hedwig when they get married, that I will marry you and get you a green card. This is what Hedwig had said. I'll marry you and get you a green card, but a wig will never touch your head again. Thus, because Yitzhak was a successful singing drag queen in this stage show they were doing on a boat. And of course, Hedwig doesn't like sharing the spotlight. So it's, I'll get you out of here, but you're never wearing a wig again. I mean, it's that manipulation that, and like you were talking about, she's a shitty fucking person who complains throughout the whole goddamn show consistently about how she's been manipulated and people have done shitty things to her. And I'm like, have you looked in the mirror, man? Like, you've taken the exact same things that have been done to you and just done it to other people. And it's not until toward the end when you get to like Midnight Radio where it's like this acceptance of, oh, fuck, I really fucked up. I've really done shitty things. Please go be free at the end. And that's such a beautiful moment in the stage show that you really don't get in the movie.
Yeah,
because it's like this, it's this realization of like, oh man, I've been a fucking piece of shit.
I didn't really pick that up so much.
Yeah, you don't in the movie. And I'm kind of disappointed in the movie now because I have been exposed to the stage show so much more since having found it that it's what I love more.
Well, let's break on that. I feel like we've jumped a little bit. If people haven't seen it, they might be a little confused.
Meh. So. I kind of prefer people to be confused going into that because it's a different show every night, too, if you're someone who sees the stage version more than once, because there's a lot of opportunity for improv in it, where whoever's playing Hedwig just fucks around with the audience.
Nice.
So, anyhow, right. Break time. I could use a stretchel.
All right, we shall return.
Okay.
And we're back.
I have no idea where you want to pick back up after the conversation we just had off mic.
I don't know. We're talking about our friends and like how they have lives and shit. Trista teared up.
I do that a lot, actually. I like to give the exterior that I am a heartless, cold piece of shit, but I'm really not.
That's how I think of you, is a heartless, cold piece of poop. So often. But you never smell like poop. You always smell like cherry blossoms.
I'm glad. My lipstick smells like strawberries in the tube, not on my face.
I don't often get close enough to your lips.
I'll get it out when we get upstairs. You can smell it. It actually smells really good. Random thoughts. Because I can.
Anyway, Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Yes.
As we've already discussed, the Angry Inch is referring to Hedwig's former penis.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fun. Now, I don't want to talk about the penis.
That's okay. You don't have to talk about the penis. I don't think the penis is as relevant to the show as people like to make it.
You're putting the pussy on a pedestal. The part that I enjoyed the most was Tommy. Okay, so it's really fucked up because Hedwig, what happens is she's some kind of a babysitter.
Yeah.
And Tommy is jerking off and... in a bathtub.
Yeah.
Has his eyes closed, and Hedwig sees it, you know, puts the baby down, walks over to the bathtub.
finishes
him off. The kid doesn't even open his eyes.
No.
Which is, you know, it's pretty much his character throughout the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
Eyes wide shut. Totally. Because I get the impression that he was raised in a religious family. That's what his...
Correctamundo.
And so he starts talking to Hedwig. He actually shows up at Hedwig's performance.
Gig.
And they start hanging out. And at what point does he learn that Hedwig is not what Hedwig appears?
Pretty much at the start. Like, I don't think it's not played off in the movie nor on stage that she ever hides the fact that she was born a dude. Like, it's never, you know, played off that way. Because even in the movie, when it's like, you know, I told him my story, and then in the background you hear like this slow bomb dropping, and then what's the first thing that Tommy says? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yeah. And they were probably having sex by then, in that point.
If not right then, I would always assume not long thereafter.
I like the part when Tommy was at the trailer, mm-hmm. I think, at her trailer, and there's a noise.
Okay, I'm still in there. We're good.
Weird. Anyway, Tommy was at her trailer, and they're like fighting, and he says something about how it was like Adam and the apple,
mm-hmm.
right? And how I'm gonna butcher this.
It's okay.
But it basically was akin to fuck. Can you help me?
Are you thinking about the whole, you know, when Adam and Eve were separated from each other, that was when paradise was lost, and when they re-entered, that's when paradise is found again?
Yeah.
That piece?
Yeah, but there were, the way he said it, it was something along the lines of, like, either he was helping Hedwig see, or Hedwig was helping him see by giving him the apple.
Oh, would you give me the apple?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, in the way that I interpreted that was that he was kind of making this weird religious justification for the things that they were doing, which were not generally religiously acceptable.
Right. Well, and I thought you were going to refer to what Hedwig says in the voiceover at that point of, you know, I have not been, you know, blind to the fact that in all these months he's completely ignored the front of me.
Right.
Which, of course, me, I'm like, nee. Because I'm a child. But, yeah.
I actually enjoyed that movie more than Rent.
I'm okay with that because I love it.
I
love that show. It's seriously one of my favorite Broadway shows.
If you can tell a story through music, that's the way you should do it.
Mm-hmm. Rent, I think you'd like Fun Home too.
Rent was close, but just that guy in the mm-hmm. movie. I've never seen it live. Maybe I would love it live.
I think if you watch any of the ones I sent you, watch Neil's. Neil does a good job of making Hedwig a character that is really charismatic to where you're like, you want to hang out with her, but then in a split second just cuts like a fucking knife. He's really good at that on stage. And that's kind of what you get from watching the movie, is like, you know, with her audience. My audience loves me. I love my audience. You guys are fuckers. I hate you. Like, it's that kind of quickness and just wit. It's really good.
So what did the Dexter actor bring to the table that was
the best? Has a really good voice. And I didn't realize this until I looked into him a little bit more. I don't know how familiar you are with the show Cabaret. That's also a Broadway show. He actually played in that. So I didn't realize he had a former Broadway background and really a very good rock voice that's good for those songs. So that's why I sent you his, is I think he has a stronger voice than Neil for the songs. But as a character, I liked Neil's Hedwig more than Michael's.
Interesting. Did Neil do any other Broadway type shows?
When he was a kid, I think so. There's a couple of interviews floating around on YouTube where he talked about like how he had met John and like hung out around Broadway as a kid and how they held on to the show for like a year while he was finishing How I Met Your Mother so that he could be the one to do it. It's got an interesting history to it.
And I think my, I don't know why I thought this, but when I was, before we had watched Hedwig, my impression was that it was going to be a pro trans type movie. Like,
oh, yeah, I can understand that.
I don't know why, though. It definitely was not that, because Hedwig, like you said, there's a lot of, not only is she a bitch, but I'm pretty sure Tommy was not of age.
Mm-mm.
When that whole thing started. What's Tommy's, the rock star? What's
Gnosis.
Tommy Gnosis.
Mm-hmm. The Greek word for knowledge.
You do it pretty good. Have you ever considered doing Hedwig?
Okay. Here's the thing. I very much wanted to be an actress when I was little. Like, I was very into it. You know me. I'm very handsy. I'm very out there. I'm very loud and obnoxious. And I have a very stage-like voice if I want to. I wanted to do plays and stuff in high school. I really did. But my extreme shyness and fear of other people really stopped me from doing that. I auditioned. Did I ever tell you this? I probably have. I have to have told you this in all of the years of our friendship. So I think it was 10th grade. Yeah, because it was after you left. I finally got enough balls to actually try out for one of the school plays. And I got the part of one of the three chorus members in Little Shop of Horrors. So I would have been one of like the Ronettes with the big hair and like, did you know anything about Little Shop of Horrors?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would have been one of those Ronettes with the hair and like the sparkly dresses and doing this bit a whole lot. But of course, I got the part and then I didn't go to any practices because I was terrified. So I missed that opportunity. So I ended up taking playwriting and writing and theater as some of my extracurricular classes, but I never tried out for another school play again. I just helped with sets and stuff because I was too scared to get on stage.
Wow. You may have told me that, but it's definitely not ringing clear in my mind.
So if there's any moment where, you know, people say, like, if you could go back in time and change a thing, I'd be like, I would have actually showed up for fucking practice because I probably would have had a lot of fun being a drama kid.
How many practices did you miss before they were like, hey, you're no longer this person? One?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you, how many years did you take drama? Three.
And I was in Writers Club for 2 years.
That's pretty big. You know what we should do?
Mm.
We should do our own Little Shop of Horrors. We could let you relive.
No, I just watched the fucking movie.
No, but it's like Tosh.0, right? Like,
what?
He gives people redemption.
I don't need a redemption for that. Not at this age.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. But thank you.
Okay.
So there, you learned a thing.
Yeah, I never tried out for anything. Acting wise, I was never in drama. I mean, it was pretty similar to me. I always wanted to play football, but I was always like terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was one bad experience, and then I always assumed that I wasn't good enough. I wasn't tall enough. I wasn't, you know, and I regret that. So
there were smaller dudes than you that played football when we were in school. Pat Wren was fucking tiny.
It's not irrational.
I know, neither was mine.
Right.
Brian played football, didn't he?
I feel like
that was a thing. That was a thing.
He did.
Like 1 year?
Middle school for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know beyond that.
Ask him when you talk to him later because I don't remember.
I will.
Okay.
Season 4, episode 4. Still working on it.
Yeah. We're getting there. Someday. It'll happen. It'll be a thing. I've come to the conclusion our goddamn mics are never coming. And I'm kind of pissed about it.
Oh, the Molly?
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Lolly.
I'm like, Molly.
It would be cool if they were Molly's.
Molly.
Wink, wink.
Right. That's code word for ecstasy now, right?
Yeah. I think it still is.
That shows how plugged into the world I am.
Because I'm sure they call it something else now. We're probably old.
Yeah. I remember the first time I heard Molly in reference in like a movie, I was like, what the... They're acting like they're on ecstasy. Are they on ecstasy?
Like, I think I get this reference. I understand.
Is Molly something?
Molly's next.
Oh. Yeah. And back in my day, we used to call it ecstasy, and the rave kids would go into warehouses.
Like the movie Go.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah. So overall, you did like it.
I liked it a lot.
Yay.
And I like it even more now that I don't feel guilty about thinking Hedvig's a bitch.
Absolutely not. Do not. She's a total cunt, but I love her anyway.
Oh, yeah. I would hang out with her. I don't know that I would hang out with her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not someone that I would be in a texting relationship with, because a lot of fucking drama. And I'm like, no, let's get coffee. I think that's your outlet. Coffee. Mm-hmm. Hedvig, don't text me. Okay. Don't call me.
Just tell me your stories and drink with me.
Yeah, and
that's
if you want to sing while you're telling your stories,
go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I invite this.
What were your thoughts on the song "The Origin of Love"? That was the portion that's based on Plato's Symposium.
Can you sing it for me?
When the earth was still flat, and I don't know the words. Mountains stretched up to the sky, sometimes higher. Folks roamed the earth like big rolling cakes. They had two sets of arms. They had two sets of legs.
Yeah.
They had two faces peering out of one giant head. That's all I can remember right now.
No, that was perfect.
That's one of my favorite songs, which of course I fuck up the lyrics because I'm like, I don't remember how it starts.
No, I can actually, when you were singing, I started to visualize in the movie.
It's like gorgeous on stage too.
The little people. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Do you have all of them, but not, you have them like digitally,
so
hard copy?
iTunes purchase wise, I have Neil's recordings, which there's a song too. Remind me. I have Neil's recording. I have the original Broadway recording with John, and then I have a rip of my old CD, because I have no idea where the fuck it actually is, of the movie soundtrack. So iTunes purchase, it's the two Broadway versions. There's a song that's left out of the movie entirely, which is one of my favorite songs in the whole fucking stage show. So there's a point right before Exquisite Corpse that Hedwig tries to sing that song that Tommy's trying to sing when they're in the trailer, the "Look What You've Done," and he can't hit the note right.
Mm-hmm.
That's a full song that they cut out of the movie. What happens in the stage version is that Hedwig starts breaking down while trying to sing that song because it is so engrossed with Tommy and that moment where they were together that she loses it and goes back, and Yitzhak comes forward and sings it instead. And Lena Hall, who was the one who played Yitzhak with Neil, has a gorgeous voice, and she does such a good job, and I love it. But I mean, the whole song is basically about how, you know, you've used me, I'm not gonna be a fool for you. It's a really fucking good song, and I'm so bothered that they left it out of the movie, because it's one of my favorites from the whole thing.
Did you do any search on why that is?
No, but I'm curious, because it's like he starts trying to sing it and then they go into fucking Whitney Houston. I'm like, but I love that song. Why aren't you doing that song? That's a great song. That's on my greatest loves playlist, for God's sakes.
I kind of want to watch it again.
It's called The Long Grift. It's great.
The Long Rift.
Grift.
Grift.
G-R-I-F-T.
Grift. Okay, Griff, we're going home.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you liked it. And I'm glad you thought she was a cunt, because she is.
Yeah. I think it's amusing to me. Josh told me that after you got home that you thought that I didn't like it.
I really did. I was like, I don't think he liked it very much. Fuck.
Oh, I needed to digest it. And for me, movie digestion usually comes in many servings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had my first serving. I've decided the good points are stronger than the bad points, but I don't really have any bad points per se, other than the things that you mm-hmm. say that you didn't like,
yeah,
which don't really have any weight with me because I haven't seen the Broadway thing, so
yeah.
Not a big deal, but I need to watch it again. And I would say it's unlikely that I would watch it again if I didn't like the music so mm-hmm. much, but I do, so I will. Does that make sense?
Or you just do like me and listen to the soundtrack fucking constantly.
Yeah. It's like, I hate to compare everything to Stargate.
It's okay.
But
it's your love.
But Stargate Universe has an amazing soundtrack. And so that is what brings me back time and time again. Just so Hedwig will do the same, I'm sure.
Just like The Crow does to me. I fucking love the score of that movie. I listen to it all the time. And it's been my ringtone for fucking ever.
Nice. All right.
I'm glad you enjoyed. Do you have any idea what you want to do next?
I don't. I could
ponder it while you're away.
Yes, I have much time for meditation and fishing. Did I tell you that I've been trying to slow time down?
Not recently.
Yeah. I've been building up to this weekend. I've been focusing on just slowing the particles so that next week lasts longer.
While that will be wonderful for those of us on vacation, some of us have bullshit going on at work and do not need the week to be any goddamn slower.
Right. Well, this is me apologizing for this past week.
So if you could keep that in your dimension and out of my dimension, that would be fucking rad.
If this week was especially slow for you, it's my fault.
It hasn't been slow. It's been a dick. That is the best way I can describe this week. It has been a dick.
A dick.
Much like last week was kind of a dick.
Yeah. I agree. Mm-hmm. I would refer to my week the same way.
Yeah. Okay. I want to play the song for you when we are done that has been stuck in my head, because it's still stuck in my head. So we should probably say goodbye.
Okay. We're going to end this episode gloriously. Season 5, Episode 3, Hedwig.